This is the March 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petitions 483 through 502, and the properties are owned by Three Daughters LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc here representing the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Hang on just a minute. I have lost you. Okay.
Can you see me?
Is Greg? Yes, there are firm testimony given in this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury.
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023, keeping the assessor as correct to prevail. Within 30 days after the written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal to make our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. So this is the Cove 13 apartment. And I'm going to share my screen if that's okay. So, are you seeing? Do I have to keep it on this? Okay, here we go. Do you see the first page of my evidence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We have your packet too. We can look at our packets.
Okay. So here's our requested value. Works out to about $149,300 and change per unit. So I believe that you've heard you're familiar with this property. I think I've presented it before. So this is a development. It was built in 1977. It's 20 units. They consist of two-story townhome-style units. All the units are two-bedroom, one-bath units that average 817 square feet. And they also contain a single garage. These are somewhat unique in that they were platted as condominiums. However, they have always been operated, as far as I can tell, as rental housing. There's been no units that have been sold as fee simple units here. It's just been all operated as an apartment complex. The apartments, they all feature kitchens, dishwashers, kind of pedestrian finishes, laminate counters, drop-in stainless steel sinks. None of the units have washer dryers. There is a coin-op laundry facility on site. And again, each townhome has a detached single-car garage. Other features include a balcony or patio. And some units have wood fireplaces. Aside from the laundry facility, there are no common area features at this property. So as of the January 1, 2023 valuation date, the property was 100% leased. Here's a map showing the subject's location in the Hazeldale neighborhood. Here is a aerial of the property. As far as issues, differences between our valuation and the assessor's valuation, we believe that their primary reasons are the assessor's lack of consideration for current market conditions as of that January 1, 2023 valuation date. And the three primary factors are the increase in interest rates, slowing rent growth, and increase in capitalization rates, mostly due to the increase in interest rates. So just to discuss in a little more detail, first the interest rates, and I'm going to go into some detail with this because I'm going to have a number of appeals that I'm going to present to you this week, and they all have basically the same information, and that's discussing the market conditions and the impact on valuation due to the increase in interest rates. So throughout 2021 and early 2022, financing rates were at or near all-time lows. There was relatively easy access to financing, and multifamily sales activity in the Vancouver market boomed. So between mid-2021 and mid-2022, there was more than $1 billion in multifamily sales in the Vancouver market. So that's a significant level of sales. Starting in January 2022, the Fed began raising interest rates, and we've included as Exhibit 2 a handout from the First Republic Bank, just essentially comparing the 10-year Treasury and the prime rate. And we know that as of January 2022, if you look at the chart down at the bottom, the 10-year Treasury was at 1.76%, and the prime rate was at 3.25%. If we go up to a year later, that Treasury rate has doubled to 3.53%, and the prime rate has also doubled to 7.5%. So these are some pretty significant increases to the cost of capital. You know, generally when the interest rates increase, the property value is decreased. So absent any strong metric like rent growth, the amount of income to be expected goes down, because you're devoting a larger chunk of your income to the mortgage payment. The local conditions in the Vancouver multifamily market show that vacancy rates were increasing, and that the amount of rent growth had decreased significantly. So with this happening in the market, this leads to more conservative underwriting standards that also negatively impact value. You know, we were seeing our clients were telling us in late 21, early 22, they were being allowed to underwrite strong rent growth assumptions. And once we got into the latter half of 2022, those rent growth assumptions, the banks were telling them that we're not really letting you underwrite hardly any rent growth. So everything is getting, so in addition to the interest rates going up, their underwriting standards are also tightening as well. You know, obviously they're very concerned. and the underwriters want to make sure that there's enough operating income to cover that debt service. If we look on page P16, we can see the Vancouver multifamily market, and we see the vacancy rate in 2022 was 4.2%, and in 2023 it had jumped up to 8.2%. And then as far as rent growth goes, rent growth is now negative 2.5%. So it's no longer climbing, it's actually going down. Obviously, with higher vacancy, there's going to be more competition to attract renters, so you're going to need to decrease your asking rents and also offer things like concessions, free months, you know, no parking fees, things like that. Here we see on page P16 at A3, we have the daily asking rent. And you can see that it kind of, you know, topped out in 2022, went down, rent is generally cyclical, but, you know, you see it's gone down in 2023 relative to the end of 2022. Per the CoStar multifamily market report for Vancouver, we've attached that as Exhibit 1 on page P120 to 31. But just to quote from the report, trailing 12-month sales volume as of the first quarter of 2024 equates to $135 million versus a five-year average mark of $423 million in the all-time peak of $946 million reached in 2022. Headwinds have formed in response to tightening lending conditions resulting from the Federal Reserve's monetary policy to combat inflation. Bid-ask spreads have thus widened as buyers and sellers try to become comfortable with high-rate environment and pencil-out return needs. Given these macroeconomic factors, deal flow could sputter in the coming quarters. So that just summarizes what we've seen. This chart at the bottom of page P17, this shows that the rate of the bar charts, the orange bars, are the amount of sales that have occurred, the sales volume. And this is the Vancouver market as tracked by CoStar. And the blue chart is the price, or the line is the price per unit as tracked by CoStar. So we can see that in 2019, we had a lot of sales activity. 2020, we had a lot. 2021 was pretty much a record-setting year. And then into the first half of 2022, we had strong sales. But then when we get to the third quarter of 2022, that sales volume drops off substantially. And then it goes down. And here we are in, you know, Q1 of 2023, the sales volume is down to under $50 million, whereas before, throughout most or the second half of 2021 and 2022, we had, you know, four quarters at $200 million plus for the most part. So the activity is down drastically, and it's down because of those interest rates have really shot up. And we can see the price per unit, the impact. We can see that it's you know, starting in Q2 of 2021, the average price per unit in Vancouver was $260,000 per CoStar. And then, you know, it peaked in Q2 of 2022, up above 280,000 per unit, and then it started to come down because interest rates are now having an impact on this. And by Q1 of 2023, that price per unit is down to $256,670. So now it's like we're back down to, as of our valuation date, we're back down to Q2 of 2021. So we've had a big run up, we've gone up, and now we're going down. So from the peak in Q2 of 2022, that the value has now declined 8.5%. So it's a pretty significant drop in value, and that's kind of the crux of our argument here, is that we believe that the assessor is not making an adjustment for what's happening due to the market conditions. And just to illustrate this, we put together some financing impacts. So we said, well, what were typical underwriting decisions as far as financing goes in Q1 of 2022? And for this, we relied on the Realty Rates quarterly investment survey. That's attached as we've included that as exhibits 4 and 5, because we've pulled the investment survey from Q2 of 2022, and again we've pulled up the investment survey from Q1 of 2023 and Q1 of 2022, and we've essentially compared the two. So based on the typical interest rate of 4.5%, which was being offered to multifamily properties, and a 70% loan to value and a 25-year amortization, I would say based on both our assessed value and or our requested value and the assessor's assessed value, that we have enough NOI to cover the debt payments. So at the assessor's requested value, we have at 4.5%, the annual mortgage payment is $160,000 per year. At our requested value, the mortgage payment is $138,000 per year. So after our NOI and deducting taxes, we get $168,000 in NOI. So we have $29,000, almost $30,000 left over from which we, we profit from. And even at the higher assessed value, we've got some money left over. We've got $8,300. However, if we fast forward to Q1 2023, we see that interest rate for garden-style apartments is now 6.5%. So it's gone up 200 basis points, and that has a very significant impact on the value. Now, with this higher interest rates, we have almost nothing left after the debt service. At our requested value, we have $178 left over. But for the assessed value, we're in the hole now. We're at negative $25,000. So we're not even covering the debt service with the NOI that's projected here. That's where the interest rates have a significant impact on the valuation. So the only way to compensate for that is that you have to bring the value down, and so you can cover the debt service. The other issue is the cap rates. because of the interest rates have gone up, the cap rates have gone up significantly. Here is the CoStar chart from the Vancouver Multifamily Report. And we can see that these cap rates, they bottomed out in late 2021, early 2022, and then they started to increase. And, it's kind of weird that we see this increase. You know, generally we see this nice curve going up, but, you know, to me it's hard to actually present it as a nice curve when interest rates have gone up as quick as they have, and you really have a lack of data points in because of the sales activity is so reduced. But I would argue that interest rates are actually, are definitely above 5% here. As support, we've included the CBRE first half 2023 cap rate survey that's attached as Exhibit 3. And that survey indicates that cap rates for the Portland suburban market range between 4.75 to 5.25. So that's on Exhibit 3 on page, I don't know if I can try 40. So here we have Class A stabilized multifamily suburban. We can see Portland in the second half of 2022, they're at 4.5 to 5, and first half of 2023, they're at 4.75 to 5.25. So the other way is to look at when there's not a lot of data available. We used to do this in our reports. I was a certified general commercial appraiser. I still have my license. It is inactive, but I am still maintaining it in the inactive. I worked as a certified general commercial appraiser. I specialized in multifamily for 10 years, working for Integra Realty Resources and BBG in Portland. And a lot of times we used to put these band of investment analysis in our report when there is a lack of data. And that's basically you're looking at kind of the underwriting that's available for financing. And you're plugging that in, and you're getting you're also doing an equity dividend rate, and based on an equity ratio of 30%. So we have your mortgage requirement and your equity requirement, and based on the underwriting assumptions at a 6.5% interest rate, we're getting an indicated cap rate of 7.75%. Now the band of investments, it's always indicating, I believe, a kind of a higher cap rate than what we see in the market. But you see that with the typical underwriting that's available as of January of 2023, with a 6.5% cap rate or 6.5% interest rate, it really puts a lot of upward pressure on the cap rate. So for our income approach, we've used a 5.25% cap rate. So our income approach is shown on pages P1, 12, and 13, and we've projected. We've utilized the rents, We've got additional other income for expense reimbursements, pet revenue, and miscellaneous income. We have 5% vacancy collection loss, and we projected the expenses without the taxes, and we're getting a net operating income before taxes at $185,800. Since we are not including the taxes, we're including the tax load based on the tax rate of almost 1%. 0.97, so that gives us a low to cap rate of 6.22%. So 185,800 divided by the loaded cap rate of 6.22%. Again, our unloaded, our base cap rate is 5.25%, but since we haven't included taxes, we're including the tax load percentage down here. So we get a value of $2,986,000, and that, or $987,000 rounded, that's $149,350 per unit. If we want to look at, we have historics on page P113. So we have 4 years of historicals, and we have our projected revenue. So our effective gross income is going up. We're at $325,600. We have not breached $300,000 in any of the previous 4 years. And our projected net operating income is $185,800. And as you can see, the closest we've come to this is $176,000. In 2021, so we're at the highest levels of effective gross income and NOI that we've been for any of the last 4 years. With that, 185,800, we're at 2,987, 149,350 per unit. So the next is to look at comparable sales. So we've looked at comparable sales, and in that we've got 7 sales that range on values per unit at $135,833 to $196,774 per unit, and averaging $162,000 per unit before any adjustment. After adjustments, however, when we make things, adjustments for the market conditions, location, unit features, amenities, unit size, the sales range between $128,000 per unit up to $171,000 per unit, and average $148,000 per unit. So again, that's right in line with our requested price at around $149,000 per unit. So the sales we've utilized are on page P115, and you can see these sales. We've included sale one, which is the Ridge. This is the newer property built in 1987. It's a more recent November 2023 sale, but I put it in here so you can see that, you know, what the impact. And, you know, this property sold at a 6.8% cap rate. So you can see that the cap rates have gone up substantially. This is a superior property. It's newer, built in 1987. All the apartments have washer dryers. Again, we do not have washer dryers in the units. And all the 2 and 3 bedroom units all have 2 baths. Again, we're 2 bedroom, 1 bath units. And they have superior common amenities that include a clubhouse, outdoor swimming pool, hot tub, playground, detached garages. This is a significantly superior property, and you can see the impact due to the increase in interest rates, that the cap rate has now gone up and the price of the unit has gone down. So it sold for $182,000. I would expect that this property would have sold above $200,000 per unit if this was in the early part of 2022. Next, we have some other properties. Again, these are similar vintage. Number two, it's located in Hazeldale, 20 units, like the subject. Sold at a 5% cap rate in June of 2022. Then we've got some other townhomes. These sale three. These are larger townhome development consisting of 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath, and 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath units with washer dryers. They have a single car garage, so a little better in terms of they have that extra half bath, and they have washer dryers. So that sold for $196 per unit. That's our high indicator. Then we have a sale of a 12-unit townhome complex in Vancouver, built in 68. Superior 2-bedroom, 2-bath townhomes with larger units at 975 square feet. They didn't have a garage, but they had carports, and they included washer dryer hookups. This sold at a 5.75 cap rate. Sale 5, 12-unit apartment complex in Vancouver, built in 72. This consists of 2-bedroom, 2-bath townhomes measuring 975 square feet. Sale 6, townhome community in Hazeldale, mix of 1-bedroom, 1-bath, and 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath townhomes, sold at a 6.1% cap rate and was 100% occupied at the time of sale. Similar, slightly older vintage, built in 1968, little slightly larger average unit size. Lastly, sale 7, Whispering Pines. This is an August 21 sale of a 12-unit townhome community that consists of 2-bedroom, 1-bath units, similar to our subject. Each unit has a carport. Reported pro forma cap rate was 6.13%. So here's a chart showing the sales and where they're located in relation to the subject, we have an adjustment chart on page 17. I realize it might be a little hard for you to see it, but we see that we've adjusted for those market conditions, with many of these sales occurring superior market conditions, so requiring a downward adjustment. And I've based this market conditions on the CoStar information, which we have from essentially here, you know, showing that the value at, you know, $260,000 in Q1 of 2021 and going up to $280,000 at the peak and back down to $256,000 in Q1 of 2023. So that's what I based my market condition adjustment on. And we've got things for age, amenities, unit features, and average unit size. So after that, we get an adjusted value of $148,000. So it's all right in line with our requested value. Just to summarize, that There are deteriorating multifamily market fundamentals that include negative rent growth and increasing vacancy rates. We have increasing capitalization rates due to the significantly increasing financing rates. And so we believe that the assessor has not really considered these market factors that are occurring, and we have a property that is 100% leased. We're relying on the achieved rents to support our value. We have 4 years of historical income and expenses. We've provided that information, and we've based our analysis on that. A typical investor would look at this property, and they wouldn't ignore the historical income and expenses. And they would base their value primarily on an income approach. However, we've also included 7 comparable sales of similar properties to support our requested value. So with that, do you have any questions? I'm sorry, does Marcia or Mr. Weaver, do you have any questions with respect to what I presented?
He's muted. I don't have any questions. It's very complete.
And
I have just questions on it. I guess, being that the property is zoned.
I was asking if he looked at the...
Go ahead, John.
The property seems to be zoned and built and all as condominiums and treated as individual condominium units by the assessor for their sales and all, but you're treating it as an apartment, and I'm kind of curious if that's really legal for the assessor to consider it as an apartment when they are in fact zoned and built as condos, and there's different regulations covering the two property types, but I understand they rent them all, so kind of clarification to your idea of the difference.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to decide to sell all these, you would either sell them in bulk or you would have to sell them off individually. So if you sold them individually, you would incur expenses as a result of that, because you're not going to put this on the market and you're not going to be able to sell them all within a week's time. It's going to take some time to market and sell these. You're going to have to list them on the MLS, you're going to have to attract buyers. It's going to take some time. So with interest rates going up, again, what is the value of a condominium unit here of this size and nature? It's, you know, generally condominiums have, you know, in-unit washer dryers, these units are built in the 70s. I don't know why they were condominiumized to begin with. I will tell you that the owner took them out of the condo plat, and that was completed in February of this year, just recently, because it drives him crazy that the assessor is looking at these as apartments, that he underwent the time and expense to take them out of the condo plat and have them platted all on a single tax lot. So essentially as apartments, because they've never been operated as a condominiums. There's no HOA in place. Again, with that, there's no HOA in place. There's no, like, replacement reserve, that's funded. And if you sold these as condominiums, it would take you time to sell them. So you would have holding costs and costs that would have to be deducted. So you would have to be paying your taxes in the meantime. You'd be having to pay utilities. You'd have to pay selling costs for, you know, escrow and sales commissions. You would have to, and of course you wouldn't be getting any rent or income in the meantime. You'd also be having to pay your insurance. So those costs would have to be deducted. So you would arrive at a value that would be, the assessor is simply looking at these and concluding to a retail value per unit or a single unit of a comparable. But we don't have one of these. We have 20 of these. So if you sold them all, you would either get a bulk sale discount or you would have costs that would be deducted as you sold out and sold the 20 units. And how long that would take, I don't know. It could take 6 months. It could take a year and a half. I don't know. But there would be costs that would have to be deducted. Interesting, I looked at the assessor's comps that they provided. Comp number one is from our sale number one. So this property, The Ridge, is kind of interesting because it has a tax lot for apartments where the apartments are. Then it has another tax lot that has condominium units within it. So the sale that I offered as part of my sale one is The Ridge, and you can see that it sold for sold for $184,000 per unit, and the average unit size was 991 square feet.
Right.
If we look at their comp one, they're reporting that this one bedroom condo sold for $215,000 per unit. So, you know, right there, that tells you there's a deduction because this is one condo of, you know, one retail sale. But if you look at our sale, we have 80 units. So with 80 units, they've got a much larger average unit size. So they've got two bedroom units as well here, not just all one bedrooms. And they're down to $184,000 per unit on what we, you know, you would think. These are apartments. These are 80 apartments because they're all on one tax lot, but they have a secondary tax lot that has these condo units from which there have been some sales. So you can see the difference right there. Also, while we're on it, they included comps 2 and 3. This is at a similar not The Ridge, but they're at the same properties 2 and 3, and again newer units built in 1987, and also superior amenities that include an outdoor pool and fitness center, which we do not have. They also have in-unit washer dryers as well. So you can see that these are definitely superior units. They also, I'm not seeing a market condition adjustment for financing, because if, you know, here we have peak of the market in May of 2022, and there's no adjustment for financing, because if you bought this unit in May of 2022, and then you went back to buy it in May of, or January of 2023, the financing that you'd be offered would be vastly different. So again, there's no market conditions adjustment or due to financing conditions. Here's one that a sale that occurred in February of 2018. So again, the assessor is not adjusting for these things, and the interest rate has had a massive impact on values here as of our valuation date, and you can see that's all borne out because of, you know, the amount of sales activity we've seen. Again, we've seen, you know, sales activity drop from 200 million per quarter down to 50 million or less. So it's really had a very significant impact. And this chart is virtually the same across many different jurisdictions. I'm looking at stuff in Multnomah County. I'm looking at stuff in King County, Pierce County, Thurston County. This chart looks exactly the same for every market because the impact. You're not selling now unless you have to, because nobody's going to offer you the prices that were being offered in early 2022. Just because if you have to get financing, that financing is taking a bigger part of that.
Okay.
So I guess kind of a long-winded response to your question, and that's why the short answer is they've always been operated as apartments. They're leased as apartments. A typical buyer would buy these as apartments. This is a 1970s complex with two-bedroom, one-bath units. They don't have washer dryers. It's not a typical condo. A typical buyer would buy these as apartments.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yep.
All right. Well, I guess we'll be talking tomorrow and the next day.
Okay.
So thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Close the